First Thessalonians.
First Thessalonians what was it?
Second chapter, verses 5 through 12. Do you have a mental picture of what a Christian would look like? If you do, do you see any need for improvement? You know, it's not enough to know that we need improvement. We need to have an idea of where we need improvement. Let's look at Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 12. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Well, this text gives us a good picture of what a Christian should want to be. As we discuss these attributes of Paul this morning, each of us should look to find needs for improvement. Of course, I've already done that and found more than I maybe wanted to. But to start with, in verse 5, Paul was unselfish. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is a witness. He says that he wasn't a flatterer seeking an advantage. He wasn't coveting that which any of them had or any others had. His motives were exactly as they appeared to be, to teach the gospel. And we see that in 2 Thessalonians, a verse I didn't read before, verse 2, the last part. It says, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. And in verse 3, he says they exhorted and encouraged them. Verse 3, for our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanliness, nor was it in deceit. Finding true unselfishness brings joy. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, We make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So he says here that the churches of Macedonia, he's talking about, and of course Thessalonica is one of the churches in Macedonia. And he said in their great trials and afflictions, they had abundance of their joy in that they gave beyond their abilities to the Apostle Paul to support him in his preaching of the gospel. So it appears that Paul's unselfishness was taken by them, and it was powerful among them. Because it says they just didn't give what they were able to give. They gave beyond it, and they gave themselves to the Lord first. I don't think you could have a better example of unselfishness. The second thing in Paul's attributes was he was not demanding. Verse 6 of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. He was an apostle. He was commissioned by the Lord to preach the gospel, to convert men. So he had great authority. But he wasn't demanding in the way he presented it. He said, they could have, but they didn't. They were not demanding. He wasn't seeking a reputation. He wasn't seeking power. The apostles did not lord it over people as we see in 1 Peter 5:3. Now, keep your place in Thessalonians. We'll be coming back. 1 Peter 5:3. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. They didn't lord it over them. They set an example to the church there in Thessalonica. They set an example of meekness. His mission was a trust from God to turn people to God and not for personal advantage. So what are our motives in our relationship supposed to be? Same as his. Preach the gospel. Look at Galatians 5:3. It says, For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The great motive is love. love is the motive that we should have in our relationships with each other. Third thing is Paul was gentle in 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 7. He says, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." He wasn't spineless or weak, but he was kind and gentle. He was tender. I don't think there is anything more powerful than gentleness. It has a way of affecting people much more than being a dictator. You want to do what they want you to do. It's a powerful attribute. Paul had affection in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." Sometimes we don't think we can be strong and affectionate. Perhaps that's again because we think that being affectionate shows weakness. But this strong man, Paul, a courageous man, confesses his deep affection for the church at Thessalonica. His relationship was more than professional. These were beloved friends. How much do we really care about others? Paul was committed to the gospel in 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God." You know, both difficulties and prosperity can distract us from our purpose. We're having problems, we get distracted from our commitment to God. We have a lot of this world's wealth. We get distracted for our dedication to God. Paul said he wasn't. He never lost sight of the priority to teach the gospel. Yes, he had to make a living. He had physical pain and discomfort. But the need to teach was always there. Look at Acts 20, 22 through 24. Acts 20, 22 through 24. "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem." This is Paul. "Not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that change and tribulations await me." This is when he's at the end of his third missionary journey and he's headed for Jerusalem. And as he's going through the different cities, he's being warned, "Don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to take you captive." But he continues on anyway. "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Throughout the New Testament, we see Paul is committed to the gospel. We never see him waver from that. He also had an uncompromised standard. In 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 10, he says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. His personal behavior was above reproach. Do we ever see him let down his guard? No. We don't ever see him behave below the standard that he set for himself, that of following Christ. You know, we as Christians are a lot of times under the microscope because we say we're Christians. So the expectation is much greater. We need to be like Paul. We need to be striving for a standard that is found by reading about Paul. Now, do I think we can live up to that? Probably not. But our goal should be we're trying to. Paul said Paul always displayed a father's strength and encouragement in the 11th verse of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. It says encourage, comfort, teach. Isn't that what a father does? He says, as a father does to his own children, that's what Paul did. That's what we should do. You know, you might think, I don't know as much as a brother or sister in Christ. How could I teach them anything? Well, what does that have to do with encouraging and comforting? Nothing. Or even what does it have to do with teaching? What you do know, you certainly can teach to somebody else. You can't tell me you don't know anything. So, I think we can do what Paul sets the example for us. And we should be as a father to our fellow saints, at least a brother, if not a father. There's purpose in all this thinking of the sort of person we should be as a Christian. In 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Purpose is that we walk worthy. And what does walking worthy help us to do? Lead others to Christ. I thank you for your attention. If there are any here who needs the prayers of the congregation, if you let that be known at the completion of the singing of the invitation song, or if any need to name Christ as their Savior, if you would let that be known also at that time, we'll take care of both of these. Let us stand.
Number 84.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. You art the Father, I am the clay. Mold me.